Hello, my lovers, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being super patient with the fact that I did not put out an episode last week. I've just been grieving over this Brody stuff. It's been super hard. I mentioned on Twitter that I was in the psych ward, and I have gotten a lot of questions about it. And so I decided that I would release a special solo episode explaining what happened and kind of just like talking it out with you guys, because maybe it'll help you, maybe it'll help me. I don't know. I have like a tickle in my throat from just like the last couple weeks have been hard. But yeah, so let's talk about it. So after Brody died, I had a really hard time sleeping from like the 22nd until pretty much the, let's see, the 7th. I just couldn't sleep. I would just sleep in like 3 hour increments at a time, and something happened and I went into some type of psychosis from it and kind of just like lost touch with reality. I guess that's pretty normal. Not necessarily going into a psychosis, but if you don't sleep enough, you know, your brain's not getting what it needs and this kind of stuff can happen. So I never really thought that I would end up in a psych ward, but this is life. We never know what's going to happen, right, guys? Yeah, it's been a weird couple weeks. There's some funny things that happen. Sorry, I have this fucking cough. but there's been some like, there was like some funny, ridiculous things that happened. And so we're just kind of going to talk it out, and I'm going to explain to you what it's like to be in a psych ward. And this is what I remember. I was in there for 72 hours because I was pretty much unable to take care of myself. And my parents decided that it would be a good idea to have me evaluated because I was just being fucking wacky. And like, I'm someone who, yes, I've suffered from depression, but it's never been extreme enough in my mind to get on any type of medication. And it just has been, it's been manageable. But then when you factor in something like grief and loss, things get weird. You know, I mean, for me personally, I've really only lost my grandpa, who I was close to, and I have this fucking cough and it's killing me. and so this was a big deal. This was a big deal to me. I felt really close to Brody. I felt like he was almost like a brother figure to me. And he was just always so sweet with me and took so much time and like gave a fuck. And the more you're in Los Angeles, the more you realize not that many people can give a fuck. So losing that was hard, and it's been hard, and I'm sure it's been hard for you guys. I mean, thank you guys for the outpour of messages and everything you guys have done. Overall, this has been a positive experience for me. I've gotten a lot closer to my parents. My dad bought me a baseball glove. I've been playing catch, and I'm good at it, by the way. Okay. And I have a new therapist who's really fucking amazing. All right. So this is what happens. All I know is that like the cops come, because that's what happens. And then they have to take you to the hospital. The cops came to my parents' house because I was like also hysterical. I wasn't functioning like how I normally function. Grief is weird. You just do weird things in general. I know that's a common thing with grief. Like there's no, like 1 second you're fine, the next second you're sobbing. So if you're grieving, I mean, just know that you're not alone. Yeah, I like was fine and then I'd be sobbing, and then I bought myself a ring pop and like a scratcher at one point, and just like weird behavior that I wouldn't normally do. I also threw a bunch of stuff in a bag for some reason. It was like a lot of stickers. I was like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm definitely going to need these stickers. Okay. okay. So this is what the psych ward's like. It's pretty much like what I would imagine prison to be, but that's coming from me, someone who's never been to prison. Probably someone who's been to prison would be like, oh, it's just like a walk in the park compared to prison. Okay. So, like, first of all, the people that I met in there, pretty fucking normal overall, just like you and I. I mean, there's a lawyer, there was someone with a successful jewelry business. There's just people who literally are just going through a hard time, and sometimes they get stuck in the system, and other times, you know, they're there for a few days, but it's scary. And you really, and for me personally, never having been, you know, in a situation like that, it was terrifying. And I'll tell you some of the funny shit though. Okay, all I know is that at one point they offered me a McRib. And first of all, you don't even know what a McRib is when it's not from the psych ward, let alone when it is from the psych ward. I was like, I'm definitely not getting the McRib. The other option was the hot dog. A hot dog from the psych ward or a McRib. Either way, both a roll of the dice, both potentially very dangerous roll of the dice. so I originally decided to go with the hot dog. Bit into the hot dog. It was so terrifying. I was like, you know what? I'll take the McRib. McRib in the psych ward, not bad. Not a bad flavor considering. Also, they give you a lot of drugs to like zonk you out. I don't know if you've ever been to the pound and you've seen like puppies that are like kind of just like not really there, or like they're just like asleep. That's kind of what they do. It's like a pound for humans, I think. That's how I would describe it. A pound for humans. yeah. So it's a pound for humans. You're pretty much like required to do what they say. And if you don't cooperate, then you could just be in there for longer. They can hold you for up to 14 days. And visiting hours were from like 6 to 8. And I had like my parents come, my friends come. I got so many phone calls. It was like overwhelming. but leading up to me going into the psych ward, they gave me like some shots of like Ativan and some Benadryl, because I just was like so hysterical. I just couldn't calm myself down. I was like cussing in the hospital. I was calling people cocksuckers. I was like in rare form. Like there's a cop whose name tag said Johnson on it. I kept screaming Big Johnson Energy and like hitting on him and just being like absurd. And like in my mind, this was all totally normal and I was thriving. I also texted people to tell them I was thriving, even though no one who's thriving texts you to tell you that they're thriving. Also, they don't let you have shoelaces in your shoes. They don't let you have shoelaces in your shoes because they don't want you to hang yourself. And they also have a very short cord on the payphone, or not the payphone, but like the one phone that they have has a really short cord because they don't want you to do anything insane. And they don't give you dental floss, which for me, it's like, you know what? Can I just get the dental floss and can I floss like supervised? I'm not really down to like sacrifice my dental hygiene. Not into it. But like they have their rules and you have to follow them. And if you don't follow them, then there are like repercussions. At one point, I announced to everybody that I did stand up and I started doing, I got through like 2 minutes of my regular set and I did it with a pepper shaker. It was either between a pepper shaker or a salt shaker, but pepper shaker was black, looked most like a mic. I thought that I can make it work. And then I got the pepper shaker taken away. And I'm like, I don't understand. I'm allowed to have a pepper shaker for seasoning, but I'm not allowed to use it as a mic. Weird rules. Lots of weird rules. Lots of rules that really don't make that much sense. For example, I had chapped lips. I wanted some chapstick. They made me wait a really long time for ChapStick, but they like instantly gave me a anti-anxiety medication that I had really never taken before. And if you don't take it, then like your behavior is just like heightened because you're in a very weird state. You're not in your normal environment. It's scary. It's prison like. I don't know what prison's like. I hope I never have to find out what prison's like after this experience, but just like there's bars on the windows. I wasn't able to go outside for 3 days. I wasn't really able to do a lot of things that I'm normally able to do. And okay, they have like this one room, and in the room they have like activities for all of the mentally ill people, myself included. And some of the activities are like board games. And I knew that I was in a bad place because I hate board games. All of a sudden, I'm fucking loving board games because I'm just like, please take me out of my current frame of mind. Like anything to like escape from like the fact that I can't go outside. I'm sharing a room with two people I don't know who honestly ended up being amazing. Like I was the crazy roommate. And it's just scary. They give you conditioner and shampoo combined, not to be a diva, but I'm not into that. I need my shampoo and conditioner to be separate, please. Sorry. Yeah, it's just really weird. And you have to kind of be your own advocate when you're in there, which is hard to do when they're giving you Ambien to sleep and Ativan for your anxiety. And they're just feeding you these pharmaceuticals and like, you kind of just have to take them and go with their system if you want to get out of there. So like, it's hard to like be your own advocate when you're on, you know, meds that you're not used to taking and you're kind of required to take. You're like, I wish that I could figure out how to get out of here and like be my own lawyer. However, I'm not even like operating at my regular frequency right now. Like I was in a psychosis. I hadn't slept. Now I'm on all these medications. Also, I had a cough, which is kind of lingering, and it just gets worse at night, but like I'm fine. I had a cough and they wouldn't give me a cough drop. They made me wait 2 hours between cough drops, and I'm like, how is it that I can get a pharmaceutical pill but I can't get a cough drop in the psych ward? What the fuck? It's literally like, it felt like I was in a fucking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I don't know if you've seen that. If you haven't, strongly recommend. Jack Nicholson's the shit. But okay, in the activity room, there's board games. There's two books. You want to know what the books are? Ripley's Believe It or Not and the Guinness World Book, whatever it is, the Guinness Book of World Records. It's like, okay, if you're a stable individual, aka not in the psych ward, and let me tell you, there's plenty of unstable people that are not in psych wards and probably belong there, but it's just a matter of like, you know, what happens to you and how you get there. All kinds of people can end up there. Who knows? But I'm saying like those types of books, like, those could make you feel crazy whether or not you're in a psychosis, whether or not you're in a psych ward. Who wants to read Ripley's Believe It or Not in general? Like, I don't want to see someone who's like, has like four eyes. Like, what is happening? Okay, so I got the mic, aka the pepper shaker, taken away. So then I tried to do stand up with a Nutri-Grain bar, which I think I just got unmotivated at that point because I was like, this isn't realistic at all. My pepper shaker looked more like a mic. Now I'm trying to do stand up with a Nutri-Grain bar. But so those are some things that happen. I'm trying to think what else happened. The McRib, that was scary. The hot dog was terrifying. The feta chicken was great. I gotta be honest, I don't know if I was just really hungry and it just like spoke to me in like a very, like something about the feta chicken. I don't even know what feta chicken is. I don't even think that's like a real dish. I think they just like do whatever they feel at the ward. You know what I mean? They're like, you know what? Feta chicken. It's a dish. We're coining it here at the ward. Okay, let's see what else happened. Okay. I'm trying to remember. I also tweeted some stuff. So that's kind of it. I think that's kind of it. It's just been a whirlwind of a few weeks. And now I'm really excited. I have a really great psychiatrist who prescribed me a mood stabilizer that's pretty much changing my life. I don't know. I can't say it enough, but if you're suffering from depression or anxiety, one, know that you're not alone. Two, know that talking about it is how we get through it. It's not comfortable. I'm not like stoked to be recording an episode about how I was in the psych ward. But I'm doing it because the only way to combat shame is with vulnerability. This is something that a therapist told me that he had learned from this amazing researcher, Brené Brown. If you don't know Brené Brown, you should definitely look her up. She has 2 TED Talks and does a lot of research on the topics of vulnerability and shame. So a lot of times when we feel shame, the last thing we want to do is be vulnerable because it's scary. Because who wants to talk about this shit? It's not fun, but we have to talk about it. We have to talk about mental illness. It's a major problem in our country. It's a major issue, you know, internationally. It's a problem. It has some, you know, it's connected to homeless people. It's connected to all kinds of stuff. Addiction. Okay, let's see. Mental illness. How many people? I'm Googling this so you guys can know. How many people suffer from? I mean, and that could be anything from depression. Okay. 1 in 4 people. 1 in 4 people in the world will be affected by mental or neurological disorders at some point in their lives. Around 450 million people currently suffer such conditions, placing mental disorders among the leading cause of ill health and disability worldwide. Wow. So 1 out of 4 people. So it says 18.5% experience mental illness in a given year. Okay. Wow. That's crazy. That's just crazy. So I don't know. This is kind of like a discombobulated. I'm just looking for an excuse to say discombobulated, honestly. This is just like kind of a discombobulated, way for me to get my feelings out. Hopefully make some of you feel less alone. If you're grieving, if you're dealing with loss, if you're suffering from some type of mental disorder, whether it be you're bipolar, you're depressed, you have OCD, you have ADD, you have fucking PTSD. There's so many different things, you know, and throughout the course of our lifetime, you don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. We want to hope that everything's going to go well, but we don't know. And there can be something that triggers something or brings up something that you're not even prepared for. And this is what happened with me. If you would have told me a year ago that I was going to be in a psych ward for 3 days, I'd be like, no, I'm not. And the weirdest part about it is the second they like spit you back into the real world, you're just like, what did I even just go through? And I can't believe I missed 3 days of my life. I will say that taking a break from social media, not by choice, but because I was in the psych ward, was a really eye-opening experience for me. It helped me realize how I am so attached to my devices, how I do get my dopamine and serotonin from my phone. And I have this notification on my phone that kind of warns me. It absolutely warns me. It gives me an alert when I've been on Instagram for more than an hour, and sometimes it'll be like 2 a.m. and I will have already hit an hour for that day. You know, like, so what am I trying to do? I'm trying to just reach out to you guys, let you know what's going on, let you know what's been going on, not because I want to, because I have to, because it's the right thing to do, because, you may suffer from some type of mental illness. You may deal with depression. You may have anxiety. You might have OCD. You might just be like me. You might just be sad. There's a lot of things to be sad about, but there's so many things to be good about. Good about, and by good about, I mean happy about. Sorry, it's been a rough couple weeks, that's for sure. Last night was Brody's memorial. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, I highly recommend it. It was live streamed on Red Band's Periscope and another Periscope, and it was so beautiful, and it was so nice to be around everyone who knew him. And if you've messaged me, or if you've reached out, or if you've left a podcast review, thank you. I'm trying my best to be positive. I'm trying my best to look at the silver linings in all of this. Here are some silver linings. One, I have a great new psychiatrist. Two, I finally feel like I've accepted what's happened and I'm ready to move forward with a new outlook on life. Three, I understand the power of comedy now because, I mean, so many of you guys have reached out to me saying that you're sad about Brody or checking in to see if I'm okay, and it's just been amazing. Like, sometimes as a comedian, you feel alone. You spend a lot of time alone. You're on the road, you're traveling, the schedule's rough. And just knowing that people are listening makes a big difference. And if you've messaged me and I haven't gotten back to you, it's just because I'm tired and I can only do so much. I'm trying my best to take care of myself. Here are some ways that I've been taking care of myself. I've been working out. I have a new therapist. I've been taking CBD baths. I'm taking a break this week from smoking weed, which, if anybody knows me, that's a pretty tough thing for me to do, but it was recommended to me by my therapist and I'm doing it. I'm just following the program because sometimes you just have to accept that you don't have all the answers and there are people who are smarter than you and it's okay to ask for help. And that's what I've come to gain from all of this. One, I have amazing friends. Two, I have an amazing family. Three, I have amazing people who listen to this podcast and give a fuck. What else is there? Okay, let's see. I wanted to say, okay, mental illness. Guys, I'm just like spit. This is all just off the cuff. So it's not a very organized episode. It's just an honest episode. Here is a list of mental health charities and organizations. Mental Health America, it was founded in 1909. It's the nation's leading community-based organization devoted to addressing the needs of people living with mental illness as well as promoting their overall mental health. And they offer screening tools, quick and easy tests to determine if you're experiencing symptoms of mental illness. You can also find local affiliates, meaning you can type in your zip code and it'll show you where you can find support and referrals. They have programs and advocacy work, information on workplace wellness. They have access to help. And if you're white knuckling it, if you're just like not doing well, ask for help. Call a friend, reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out. You know, it's not an exact science. Sometimes, you know, it's a chemical thing. Maybe, but I will say this. I will say that working out, I've been working out every day. It's totally changed my outlook on things. My therapist told me exercise is a natural antidepressant, and that's true. Just exercise, get outside. It's weird that this happened. The timing of it feels weird because, I mean, Brody suffered from mental illness. He was always really vocal about it. And anyone who knows my comedy kind of knows that most of my comedy is very observational. It's, I have a hard time doing a deep dive into like personal shit. So this podcast has been a really, really cathartic way for me to connect with people and just like be honest. And it doesn't feel like people are listening, but I know you guys are. But it doesn't feel like it because I'm just like doing it in my bed right now. I'm recording this in my bed right now. There's different apps if you're looking for meditation. There's one called Calm. There's one called Headspace. Some of my favorite things to read are things like Ram Dass, who is a Buddhist philosopher. There is, what else? What other things have I benefited from? Philosophers like Alan Watts, Brené Brown. Ram Dass is a spiritual teacher and a former academic and clinical psychologist, and he has a lot of great books. One of them on that's on death and just kind of like what he's learned up to this point, called Polishing the Mirror. He just helps kind of break down like complex ideas and like kind of just rewire some of the things that we initially thought. Also, there's this amazing author, Wayne Dyer, Dyer, D-Y-E-R. He talks about the power of intention and just, you know, like changing your thoughts to manifest what you want. That's been helpful for me, being more mindful. Marianne Williamson, I don't know if you guys have heard of her. She's great. I've spent a lot of time, like over the last probably 3 to 5 years, just like working on myself and trying to better myself. So this all kind of, when this all happened, it just kind of wiped me on my ass. And I'm just kind of like, whoa, wow. Prioritizing taking care of yourself is really all that matters. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of credits you have, how many social media followers you have, how big your tits are, how big your dick is. Honestly, it's all about taking care of yourself. If you can't take care of yourself, you don't have anything. So yeah, even if you're like struggling financially and you need therapy, Google it. Just find out, just get help. Just find ways to take care of yourself. Talk to a friend, go on a walk, read a book, getting creative. Getting creative for me is a major outlet. I find that it takes me out of my head and it makes me feel connected to something greater than me. And any time that you can feel connected to something greater than you, I think that's a positive thing. It doesn't mean you have to be the world's best painter. It doesn't mean you have to be the world's best comedian. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that you're enjoying it and you're putting out positive things into the world. Also, my therapist recommended this book called Feeling Good. It is a book about how we can basically rewire our brain by changing our thoughts, and how that would create new like brain pathways. And basically, if we do this according to this book, and this book so far seems to be really amazing. I'm about halfway through. I can't recommend it enough. It's called Feeling Good by David D. Burns. It says, the national bestseller, more than 3 million copies in print, now with an all-new consumer guide to antidepressant drugs and a new introduction from the author. All right. So those are my thoughts. They're a little bit all over the place, but that's what's happening. I have a cough. I got to wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for your support. If you're listening to the podcast and you're loving it, thanks for leaving a review. If you haven't left a review, please, please, please leave a review. That's how people find out about this. And a special thanks to my podcast sponsor, Kush Queen. Kush Queen, they sent me like a huge box of bath bombs. And thank you guys to like everyone who's reached out into the comedy community and just everybody. I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm very thankful to be living this life, and I'm very thankful to connect with you guys. And thank you for being you, and thank you for understanding, and thank you for supporting my show and me. And thank you to Smoked Honey, who's also a podcast sponsor. yeah, if you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. I will be dropping this episode and then another episode with Joe DeRosa, which is a hilarious, fun, lighthearted episode. And I think you guys will enjoy it. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And yeah, let me know if there's someone you want to hear on the podcast. Tweet me at Princess Shank, or let me know on Instagram at Princess Shank, Princess Like Normal, and then another S-H-E-N-K. Here are some show dates. I will be in Westlake Village, if you're in California, specifically kind of Southern California, specifically close to Los Angeles. I'll be in Westlake Village on Friday at 8:30, and then I will be at Pasadena for the Death Squad show at 10:30 on Friday the 15th, at the Ice House. And then I will be, what else do I have on my schedule? That's Friday the 15th, and then Sunday the 17th, that's St. Patrick's Day, I will be in Palm Desert at the Hood Bar and Pizza with Rachel Wolfson. That's going to be fun. I'm headlining. I'm bringing Wolfie with me. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. And as always, if you have fashion questions, please feel free to email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. And thank you guys so much for supporting me and my show. And I love you guys. Also, get a discount on bath bombs. Go to kushqueen.shop. Type in shank, capital S-H-E-N-K. You get 15% off. They have bath bombs for everything, and they're truly amazing. And thank you guys. And I love you. Bye.